Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show Tea Talk with Karishma and Supriya. And I'm your host, Supriya. And today we are going to talk about a very interesting and relatable subject to all the expats. It's about the Dutch language. And we have with us Yvonne van Dusen Buxx. She is an NT2A teacher for 12 years. She also has a C1 examinator status. We'll know more about the terminology and details about this in a while. But before that, welcome to the show, Yvonne.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Supriya.
Thank you for joining us. But before we start the conversation, we have a signature question. Always, we would like to know that what is the favorite tea from our guests? So are you a tea lover or are you more of a coffee person?
Well, I do appreciate a good cappuccino on a Saturday morning, but I also like to drink some tea. And my favorite tea would be green tea with mint from my own garden.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's green tea with mint. Okay. I'm going to try that. So, Yvonne, you've been a teacher for 12 years now. I mean, what inspired you to become a Dutch language teacher and for international learners? And what contributes to fuel your passion for teaching?
Well, when I was younger, I had never thought about becoming a teacher, not at all. I always thought that it was quite a hard, harsh profession as a teacher. But after I graduated, my first job was at TS Nimbas Business School, the commercial part of Tilburg University. And there I was an organizational force, helping all the professors with the schedules, etc. And it inspired me because it amazed me how people could listen for hours. And there were also entrepreneurs studying beside their jobs. And so that inspired me to quit my full-time job and to become a language teacher. And at first instance, it was English. But I also met my to-be husband. And I moved from Tilburg to Eindhoven. And there I really discovered the international community here, the vibrant international community here in Eindhoven. So quickly, it became Dutch teaching NT2 instead of English. And
how did it go? Like, you were an English teacher, and then you decided that you will be teaching Dutch. How did
Yeah, it was funny because we lived in the Schrijversbuurt, and in that area you have the Volksuniversity, mm-hmm. and it was right across from our apartment. And I walked over there one evening, and because it was always so crowded with a lot of cars parking in the street, and I was curious, I went over there, and they said, yeah, we do not only need an English teacher, but also Dutch. And at TIAS, they still invited me. I was still in contact with TIAS Nimbas back then. And they asked me to teach the MBA, the international MBAs, in order to help them with some Dutch, in order to break the ice during their interviews, the job interviews in the Dutch job market. So that's when it all started. And soon I was teaching more Dutch courses than English courses. So, and then you start to look with different eyes, and also cross-cultural, towards your own language. So it was a nice journey, and I love both, but NT2 has become my passion.
So, I mean, you were always related to academia field, like you were saying, you were in Tilburg, and then you became an English teacher, and then your journey to a Dutch teacher. So could you share like a particularly rewarding or heartwarming experience with the students, that's something, you know, which has left a lasted impression on you, or something worth sharing with our listeners?
You always, I think that as a teacher, you always remember your first private student. And for me, it was a Japanese lady. She was in the MBA and quite an introvert person. But she had to present herself, and her feedback was often that she had to be more outspoken in order to show herself. And there was also this context of other MBAs with a lot of, in this case, Indian people in the group, but also Americans and Dutch people. And so she needed to step out of her comfort zone, show herself, and become a little bit more extrovert, and in order to give good presentations. So I helped her with that, not only with the good pronunciation of a good R and the L, but also building up her confidence. And then I noticed that she opened up to me, and I was able to push push some buttons within her, so that she started to show herself within the group. And that was my first breakthrough and success.
So it is not that you just helped them clear the exams, but I think in this case, it was an overall grooming or overall support which you could give her was very overwhelming experience and a nice one for you, right?
Yes, usually the big wish is what a lot of internationals tell me is, I would like to be able to speak with confidence. They tell me, well, I did some courses, but I'm still not able to speak, or I still don't feel comfortable. And that's also also a little bit about mindset, but also feeling at ease in the interaction with your teacher. So, and people open up to me quite easily. They don't feel threatened in any sort of way. And I think that's the biggest success factor for me working with my clients, because we open up to each other in a very comfortable and trusting relationship. We can go faster. People tell me their fears so that I can truly help them fast track.
Yeah, you're right, because and I also talk in the expat community, they also talk about that speaking with confidence is one thing which they really struggle, because they have cleared the exams, everything is there, but probably when they go to supermarket, if they struggle or a little bit, then the other person starts speaking in English, and then that switch doesn't let them to learn Dutch language. Do you have any more tips in this regard, that what else can they do as a teacher that would help them to learn or master the language and they're able to speak it fluently?
Yeah, well, it's a couple of weeks ago I had an intake, and it was a rather sad story, and it made me feel ashamed of other teachers. So this is something I would like to share towards other teachers. This person felt laughed at when he was making mistakes, and I thought, well, that's really a no go for a teacher ever. So be very conscious about what's considered as funny or not. And you should never, ever laugh at students making mistakes. That's just for me a real no-go.
So like, can you suggest something else, like maybe watching Dutch cartoons, or what can exactly help them to learn or speak?
Well, I always tell my clients, train your ears, because if you look at how our brain works, is that it always adjusts the sounds of a foreign language towards the sounds that are already in your brain from your mother tongue or your mother language. And when you're learning another language, a new language, the last language that you've been taught always pops up. And that's how our brain works. So you first need to train your ears towards hearing and being able to hear the different sounds. And that all You need some hours of exposing yourself to radio or podcasts before your brain actually starts to register the differences in sounds. First, you need to be able to hear the differences, and then you should train your muscles in your mouth and your jaw, in your face, in order to be able to produce then the different sounds. So that would be my biggest tip. Train your ears, listen to podcasts that you like. There are so many podcasts on so many topics available nowadays. And radio, I always recommend listening to the radio while being in your car, when you're traveling by bus or by train. Those are lost hours or minutes that you can use in order to train your ears and your brain.
True, actually, yeah. You also have been sharing with us some 1 minute mini lessons, which are so interesting, and we get such a positive feedback from the listeners that they're really interesting. I mean, from where do you draw the inspiration, and is it from your daily lives or like talking to the students, from your experience? Because I really find them very interesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's really nice to hear, because 1 minute, I must say, is always a challenge. We teachers, we on average, we like to talk. So keeping it within the minute is very challenging. So that's very nice to hear. Well, I get my inspiration from listening to my students, clients. They sometimes also ask me questions like, hey, Yvonne, what's up? What's happening with this? Can you explain? Because I don't understand, or some things that they notice. So, for example, about the Dutch bag on the Dutch flag, I remember doing a mini podcast on that. And sometimes it's also what I see on the street, on the streets, or I read about in the news. And that's where I get my inspiration from.
So when we're talking about the exams, the Dutch exams and the bags, there have been a couple of questions in the expat groups on Facebook we come across is about the Inbürgering exam or the Staatsexamen. I don't know whether they're the same. Would you explain or elaborate a little bit about that? Because many people are curious to know about and they have like so many doubts and questions. I'm sure that they must be coming up to you asking those questions. So it would be nice if you can share a little bit with our listeners as well.
Yes, that is it's a very good question, because I also noticed this misconception. In the past, these exams were at A2 level in order to get a Dutch citizenship, and they were called Inburgeringsexamen. Since January 2022, the regulation for newcomers changed, and so they have to acquire the B1 level within 1 year. And it also now all the exams start at B1 level, and so they are now called Staatsexamens NT2. In the past, we talked about Inburgeringsexamen for the A2, and we talked about Staatsexamens NT2 for the B1 level. But as of January 2022, it has become Staatsexamens NT2, and it stands for the B1 level. There's also a B2 level, and they're called Staatsexamens NT2 Program 2. So that's the B2 level. Yeah.
So which exam do they need to clear if they want to apply for Dutch citizenship?
Yeah, nowadays they have to. Everyone has to reach the B1 in order to get the Dutch citizenship.
Okay.
What I often hear from my clients is that they say, "Well, Yvonne, I don't need to clear it because I have a European passport. I'm in within the European Union." So mm-hmm. I get a lot of clients who are outside of the European Union. But I always tell everyone, also the highly skilled migrants that I work with, remember, it's the only official exam. And if you invest in learning Dutch, and most of you do, then also make sure you officially prove the level that you've reached. Because this certificate, this exam, tests you on all four skills. So reading, writing, listening, and speaking. and it will last a lifetime. It's official because it's linked to our educational system, the entry of our educational system, but also linked to getting the Dutch citizenship. What I also would like to add is that most internationals say, okay, it's only after 5 years that I can apply for Dutch citizenship. But my advice would be don't wait until those 4 or 5 years, because you can start sooner, of course, in mastering your Dutch. And usually the process, administration process, takes 1 whole year. So start sooner. Definitely start sooner. And once you have the certificate, then you can maybe also apply in year 4 already, because it will still take 1 year for them to process it.
So that certificate is still valid if, like, even they took it like in third year of their residence, and then even after 2 years, that certificate remains valid, right?
Yes. And that's very important to know. Most internationals don't know this. It's valid for life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So earlier it used to be A2, if I'm not wrong, and now it is B1.
Yeah. The success rate in the past was not so high, and nowadays it's still only 61% overall of people who pass it the first time. And I think it's because if you take a course, it does not always include the exam preparation training, because there are some exam training skills needed in order for you to be successful. So, for example, speaking, you need to do a talk to the computer within 15 or 30 seconds, and then there goes a beep, and then beep, and you have to start talking immediately, and you have to also finish it within the time limit. And that's can be very stressful if you're not used to it. So therefore, a little bit of training really helps.
Okay, so we're talking about the exam stress here. So you mean that if they take training or they take lessons, then that definitely helps during the exam?
Yes, and what I do, if people are at A2 level, then I help them, I give them language coaching in 10 weeks. So I help people raise their level from A2 to B1, including exam preparation skills. So I know all the ins and outs, tips and tricks, and also the whole European Reference Framework, ERK, to help people prepare to the max in 10 weeks' time.
I also heard that you are coming up with something very different. So would you share it with our listeners that what is this exactly coming up, which is on new on the block?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled to share this with you here on the radio for the very first time, because I want to create a bigger impact. I want to help more internationals pass those exams and get the success rate percentage up. And up till now, I've been teaching online to maximize my time, but I want to go face to face again, live. So on the 2nd of March, 2024, I will host the fastest exam training for B1 there is. And it will
fastest.
Be.
Okay.
Yes, it will be NT2 in 1 day.
1 day? Did we hear it right? How is it even possible to train in 1 day?
Yeah, so I combine all my experiences, all the tips and tricks, ins and outs, and of all the clients that I helped, to give a very, very efficient training in 1 day on all 4 skills. So it is a challenge, but I truly believe it can be done. You will get insight on what is needed, where you're at, and then exam training skills that you need, and then also gap fill the grammar you need to know grammar.
So it will be all like reading, writing, whatever, the same topics, right?
Yes, all four skills. Yeah. So reading, writing, listening, and even speaking. So it's going to be a really exciting day. And I've created the website www.nt2inoneday.nl, and it will soon be live. And you can pre-order your tickets if you want to via the website.
That's quite interesting and something I'm looking forward to. Have you ever heard of something or did something like this before? Or this is going to be the first time?
Yes, well, I must confess that my biggest inspiration for this day comes from Ben Tichelaar. He's an expert in change management, and he is famous for his MBA in one day. So I've copied his concept, but I'm taking it from MBA to NTA.
So was that successful in the past?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yes.
Especially
okay.
in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Busy managers.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now he does it again. So he recently started doing MBA in one day again. And he's booked full.
Oh, he's fully booked. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. We wish you our best wishes are with you and good luck for this very interesting venture. Keeping the fingers crossed, right? So,
thank you. Yeah.
So, when we're talking about the Dutch culture, like, would you recommend some place in Netherlands, which is not so famous, but would suggest to our listeners that they should explore this place?
Oh, well, I know a very nice place. Me personally, I really like old places, authentic places, and it's a small place. I would like to advise you, and it's called Heusden. Have you ever been there?
No.
Okay, it's in Brabant and it's close to Den Bosch. And the best way to go there would be to rent a scooter.
Okay.
And to just go for an exploration. It's a tiny town and with a port. It's very nice to go there. It's really lovely.
Okay, I'm going to try maybe over the next weekend. So that's a good one.
What?
So, which is your favorite tradition, if I say about, because... Yeah, we're going to explore all the Dutch factors today. So not just the Dutch language part, but yeah, I think it is also about integrating with the Dutch society. And this is also one of the exam topic. So what is your favorite Dutch tradition and how does it resonate with you? Can you share something on that?
Well, since the first thing that comes to my mind would be Sinterklaas. It's a little bit controversial, maybe, but it is my favorite one. We have two young kids, and it already starts. They already are already getting excited and dreaming about their favorite toy and what they would like to ask Sinterklaas. And it's a time for celebrating with it's for kids, but also grandparents and parents are involved. And I know it's a little bit controversial about Pete and the past and our history. But for me, I was brought up with Sinterklaas, and I would like to focus on the the joy and the and the happiness for kids. It's an absolute dream for kids to be able to ask anything that you wish for. So, and that's for me is the core of Sinterklaas, that a child's dream that he or she is able to ask, and sweets, unlimited sweets and joy and happiness and presents. So yeah, that's for me.
Do you cook something special on that eve? Is there some special food or something in the evening?
Well, actually, I'm not a very good cook. I'm not a very good chef. I always say that the love of a woman also goes through her stomach.
Okay, all
Because
right.
there's this Dutch saying that the liefde van de man gaat door de maag, the love of a man goes through his stomach. And I
That's
always say,
universal. That's universal in every culture, I guess, right?
yeah.
So for you also.
So usually it's something practical that we can have it on the table quite fast and easily for the whole family to enjoy. So it either would be nasi
Okay.
or stamppot.
Okay. All right. So probably then, if you don't cook that much, but you can recommend something from Dutch cuisine, like which snack or what do you recommend in the Dutch cuisine? Which one is your favorite?
My favorite Dutch cuisine. I'm really a dessert lover, actually.
Okay.
Last weekend, my family was laughing because we were in a restaurant and I saw five desserts that I wanted to order. So in the end, I didn't order a main course. I was just eating three different desserts.
Okay,
So,
so good.
cool. So yeah, a good Dutch dessert, and it has to be a good Dutch dessert. But usually, it would go and it for me becomes tiramisu, one of my favorites. Yeah,
No,
so
Italian.
it's
That's
not
not
Dutch.
Dutch. No. But I sometimes when I go to supermarket, I see this amandel stuff. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. I mean, I've never seen it anywhere, and I really, really enjoy it, right? So is it Dutch?
I suppose it is, and we use it with you can eat it with Sinterklaas time, but also when it is sometimes with Easter or sometimes with Christmas.
But mostly it's available in November or this time only. I've never
December.
seen it anywhere else, in any other.
Oh, I used to work at a bakery, and we sometimes also had it when around Christmas time or sometimes also around Easter. But it is, a lot of sugar. Do
Yes, but when you
you
can
like
feel.
it, Priya? Do you like the taste of Amandel staff?
I really like it. Yes. I'm not very big on sweets, but this one I really enjoy. And actually, all my family in India, relatives. So whenever this time comes, and if somebody's going to India, I just send lots to them. So, I just wanted to ask you one question. Like, you've been teaching for so long, and you have so many students. So, are there like some questions which they come up with, some common questions which you might like to address and share with the viewers so that they have some kind of knowledge related to that? And also about the C1 examiner style, what is that exactly? So, how is it different, and how many
Okay.
examiners we have here in Netherlands?
Well, the C1 exam is, we don't have it within the system of Staatsexamen. I think I foresee it will change in the future because some countries around us do have it within the in their own ERK framework, European Reference Framework. The Netherlands doesn't have it yet, but I think that will change. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to obtain it. So I'm now recognized as a C1 examinator. That means that you can take those exams, and usually it's internationals who want it for the profession. So healthcare professionals who want to officially prove it at the highest level, moedertaal, yeah, at the level of moedertaal native speaker level, or translators who need it as an official paper, so that they can translate between their own language and Dutch. The exams are only are not NT2, but are Dutch as a foreign language, and there's a big difference because NT2 means that you're learning Dutch in a Dutch context. The environment you live in is Dutch is spoken, but when you have it as a foreign language, Nederlands als vreemde taal, that means that you're learning the language in a non-Dutch spoken environment. So it's worldwide. Therefore, it's worldwide. It's only once a year in May. And it's really interesting because during the training of the examinators, there were people from all over the world. So even in Nepal, you can take that exam.
Okay.
So so you must think of Dutch who went abroad, and but also children. But at the C1 level, it's usually adults who take that exam. Yeah. We didn't have the C1 examinator here in the Eindhoven Brainport region yet, so I was very surprised to discover that, and so I'm very happy that that I can offer it now here in this region. Of course, I teach online, so people can also come to me from. Doesn't matter where you live, you can also come to me for the C1 exam. Coaching and then taking the exam in May, and it starts in January. So we start to prepare in January, and then we take the exams in May. Yeah.
But do all the language teachers need to take this exam? I mean, whosoever is teaching or coaching or giving lessons about the language, do all of them need to take this exam, or they can still teach even if they are not C1 certified?
No, not all teachers need to take it. It's I'm now recognized as an institution where you can take the exam. I will I'll take the exam, and then the results go to KU Leuven, because it's from the TaalUnie, and it's between Radboud University Nijmegen and the University of Leuven, and then they examine the end results. So in that sense, I'm independent. I help people reach that goal, and then we do the exams. I can do it as an official examinator. And there are more or less 6 or 7 examinators in the Netherlands where you can take the C1 exam for TAAL. Yeah.
So have you seen any change in the language learning? Like, because from where you started 12 years ago and now, of course, there is a lot of expats here and it's changing. But do you see any other changes in the past years, almost a decade?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest change has been, of course, Corona. It's completely changed the way we work and also how we learn. So in the past, I was teaching face to face, and then blended learning with people in the classroom, but also people behind the computer at home. So I constantly had to turn my back to make sure people were not only staring at my back mm-hmm. and also saw my face. So I had and the combination of everything. So and then online. So we're more flexible in the way we learn, and also in the when students learn. So during office hours or evenings. And at the beginning, it was only face to face during the evening, and because the professionals they work.
Right.
Usually work full time, and now it's
the more flexibility
more
is there,
flexible.
Yeah, in terms of
yes,
hours.
Definitely,
Correct.
Definitely, yeah.
But how do you envision the future of language education evolving, and the changes of advancements? You know, you would like to see in future.
Yeah, of course.
Is it gonna change with the, I mean, advancement of AI and everything coming up? Do you think there will be less demand for the teachers, and there will be direct learning? Is it going to impact this sector also?
I think, yeah, of course, I think it will impact our sector, but I think that in the basics will always stay the same. So we as teachers, as language teachers, we need to evolve, and we need to look at those technologies and what we can take from it to our advantage and to the advantage of students. But I think that, for example, I think that if you want to be able to give instant feedback in a conversation, then you still need some basic skills on how that language works. And also, for example, you can let a computer write whole books and artificial intelligence. I read an article that that the books, many books are now not
obsolete.
Automatically.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But I think that you still need to be able to have the skills to review things. So yeah, and also for instance, connection conversations, you still need some basic skills. And what we talked about earlier, confidence, those are things that a computer does not add to your language learning.
I think, yeah, the environment is changing to digital now, like the physical and the digital. But I think we cannot ignore the importance of the physical or the presence of a teacher. That's going to remain there for sure. Yes.
Yes. So, and also the emotional part, the emotional part. How do you feel while you're learning a language? So, previously in our conversation, it's also very important that you will, the quote is, you'll remember the feeling, but you don't always remember what has been said.
So if there is like one piece of advice which you can give to somebody, a student or a person who's starting the journey for language learning, what would that be?
Well, my foremost message would be, if you invest in learning Dutch and mastering Dutch, make sure you also officially prove it by getting that B1 or B2 certificate, because it will last a lifetime and nobody can deny what it stands for. So make sure you turn it into an official certificate, because you can get a certificate anywhere you want. There are a lot of language schools, a lot of courses that you can follow. But once you have a certificate and you go to another language institute, they will do an intake and they will say, yeah, but that's 2 years ago. Huh? So, and this certificate is not only linked, it's linked to your future, to your career, because you can officially prove the level that you've reached. So my main message would be, if you invest in learning Dutch, and most of you do, then also take the next step of taking those exams. It will make you future-proof.
So, listeners, there are two things which are very important. As you both said, it's train your ears and get certified. So we would like this conversation to go on and on, but because of the time limitation, we have to conclude it now. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing us with the valuable insights with us. Thank you, Yvonne, for joining.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much also to the listeners.
Thank you. And we're going to go now and we're going to catch you up again in the next episode of Tea Talk with Karishma and Supriya. Thank you. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.